Fall semester is approaching, and freshman students are gearing up for their first year of college, figuring out their way around campus, and stocking up on quarters for the laundry, hoping their roommates aren't too weird. And there's a new ritual college students share. In recent years, more colleges are starting a freshman common read program, where first-year students will all read the same book and then discuss it during their first week at school. We were so intrigued by this notion that we decided to have the Talk of the Nation Freshman Read series to talk with the author and a student about the experiences of a freshman common read. To kick off our series, we're talking about The Other Wes Moore, which has made the list for several colleges and universities. We also want to hear from you. Have you read The Other Wes Moore? And what does this book have to offer freshman students? Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. You can also join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. We'd also like to know which book you think belongs on a freshman common read list. You can do that via email. Talk@npr.org is the email address. Please put freshman in the subject line. After we wrap up the series, we will tell you the top choices. Joining us now from our New York bureau is the author of The Other Wes Moore. Wes Moore, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Also joining us is Serena Wirth. She's a junior at the University of Louisville, and she's read Wes's book. She'll be leading the book discussions with incoming freshmen. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Well, Serena, I understand you're losing your voice, so we won't keep you on the air too long. What lessons did you learn from The Other Wes Moore that you think would have helped you during your freshman year?
One of the biggest things, I think, one of the main themes that I pulled from the book is about expectations. And I think that a lot of freshmen come in and they either have, you know, expectations coming in from their parents or expectations coming in that they've set personally. And I think in the book that you really, really see the impact that expectations can have, not only in life, but specifically like how they can apply it towards their education. And so I think that having read this, if I'd read it before my freshman year, I think I would have recognized the importance of that even more. So, and I think that's something that a lot of the freshmen can relate to in terms of expectations. And so I think that that's a really, really important theme that they'll get a lot out of.
And Serena, when you moderate these conversations among incoming first years, have most people read the book? Are they into it?
Yeah, I was an orientation leader this summer, and the students actually had the opportunity to purchase the book at orientation. So many of my students, I saw, you know, them bringing it back to the table at lunch, and I mean, all I can do is rave about it. I think it's excellent book, an easy read too, and so I think that, and as I like communicated with them over the summer, so many of them were reading it and really, really loving it, and I think that it's because it is so relatable. Like, even if you're not relating to one Wes or the other Wes, like there's something in there that they can pull from, which is, you know, ideal for a book in common.
All right, Serena, I'm going to let you go and go get a cup of hot tea or something, or at least a cough drop. Serena Wirth joined us from the University of Louisville. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Still with us is the author, Wes Moore, whose book, The Other Wes Moore, is featured on several freshman common read lists for fall 2011. Wes Moore, why do you think so many schools have chosen your book?
Well, I'd say I'm just so humbled that so many schools have picked it. But I think there's, and as Serena alluded to, I think whether or not you're relating to one Wes or the other Wes, I think there's pieces of both lives that you not only relate to in your own life, but also there are people around you, that you see how these small decisions make big impacts on all of our lives. And I think that's something that I was really thankful that the students really picked up on, and also the importance of being involved in the lives of other people, and how sometimes the smallest interactions and the smallest conversations can sometimes make all the difference between which direction someone goes into.
And we should tell, for our audience who hasn't read it, the book, The Other Wes Moore, is your story, just as you were getting coverage for having won a Rhodes Scholarship and a lot of your successes. There was another person in your neighborhood with the same name who was getting written up for his crimes.
That's
and
right.
Your lives went in radically different directions, even though they started in a pretty similar way.
That's right. And how I first learned about Wes was there were wanted posters in my neighborhood that the police were looking for him, and one in connection with the murder of a police officer. And the more I learned about this tragic crime and what happened, and the more I learned about Wes, the more I realized how much more we had in common than just our names. The fact that we are, you know, in the same, living in the same neighborhood, the fact that we both grew up in single parent households, that we both had academic and disciplinary troubles growing up, we were around the same age. And so I started thinking to myself, so how does this happen? How do you get two kids from similar backgrounds and similar similar circumstances, who, as I'm getting ready to head 3,000 miles away from home on a scholarship, he's getting ready to head 25 miles away from home to a maximum security facility for the rest of his life. And so I ended up reaching out to him. This was a while ago, well before even the idea of a book came about. And really what the book is, it's an evolution of these two lives and what eventually happened that happens that causes this split.
And let's ask our audience, if you've read The Other Wes Moore, what lessons do you think it has for a freshman read context? The number is 800-989-8255. If you haven't read it, what suggestions do you have as something that would make a good freshman read book? The idea of an entire incoming class reading a book together and then talking about it when they get to campus together. You can send us email, talk@npr.org. Did you have a freshman read when you went to Hopkins?
You know, it's interesting. I didn't. And when I first started hearing that dozens of schools were picking the book up as a freshman read, I remember asking my publisher, so what's a freshman read?
Yeah.
And they explained, they're like, well, that's when all the freshmen, will pick a book and do something with it and have a Q&A with the author, et cetera. And it's interesting because when I first started hearing about these requests, I immediately thought to myself, you know, it's great. Then, of course, I'll go do a Q&A and with the students, and that's fantastic. But the intent of the book is that I didn't want people simply to pick it up and throw it off to the side. I wanted people to see this as a much larger call to action. And so one of the things that we've incorporated into the University of Louisville, as Serena was alluding to, and also other schools, is that for schools that pick the book up as a freshman year, I'll obviously go visit and meet with the students. But in addition to that, we're doing service projects around the country with all the individual schools. And each one of them are individual and tailored to the demographic that the school finds itself in. So some people are focusing on education. One school is focusing on juvenile justice. One school is focusing on immigration issues. But all of them are doing a larger service project with their freshman class. And I've been so inspired because that really is the larger intent and purpose of the book. So to see people not only entering school having read it and have that common bond of reading a book, but then also knowing that they're going to make a demonstrable difference in their college campus and in their community around it has been really inspiring and heartening as well.
Do you think that's one of the reasons so many schools have chosen it? Is because there is sort of a what can I do about it call to action part?
You know, I believe so, because, you know, one thing I've heard is that it's something that's relatively unique. They were saying that there weren't other books that they'd heard about that had tried to add a service component to it as well. Because I think so much, for so many of these students who are coming into college, they know how lucky they are. They know, at a time like now in particular, to have an opportunity to attend a college or university is just an extraordinary honor, and it means a lot of people have sacrificed and worked on your behalf, and that the collegiate experience can't simply be about what are you learning, but it also needs to be about what are you giving. And what is the sacrifice that you're willing to make in order to help make the lives of others better? And so that's something I think that that people really have been attracted to about this story and about this book, and why I'm just so blessed that so many people have picked it up and try to answer that call to action.
Let's hear from Wanda in Fort Myers, Florida. Wanda, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Thank you. Just very quickly, I just want to tell Mr. Moore that I appreciate him writing this book so much. I have a 12-year-old son that I purchased the book for, just so he can see how the smallest decision can make such, an impact on life, whether he can go the right way or the wrong way. And he's learned so much from the book, and I just call to say thank you for it, because he really grasps the fact that his decisions right now can shape the course of his life. And so many children do not understand that. And again, I just want to say thank you. I wanted to just be brief.
Wanda, thank you so much for your call.
Bless you. Thank you. That means so much to me. It really does. And I really have been just so humbled by, the amount of parents and teachers and even students who have said, how they use the book in their classrooms, or how they're using the book inside of their homes. We received a letter, really received thousands of letters. We received a letter from a young man in Chapin, South Carolina, who got into a fight when he was in school, and he got arrested for this fight. And he was sitting inside of detention. Of baby booking, which is the juvenile detention center, and someone came up to him and says, "You really need to read this book." And he said, "I'm not reading that book." And but he said, when the person turned around, he started flipping through the book. And when he got out, he actually wrote me a note, and he said to me, "This is the first book that I've ever read cover to cover." And for the first time, I'm actually really thinking about the type of man that I'm trying to become, and the person I want to be for my family. I mean, when you hear those kind of stories, when you hear, like what Wanda was saying, it just makes you know that, hopefully that not only was this process worthwhile, but that the larger intent of the entire process is hopefully coming to fruition. So it means the world to me.
Let's hear from Tara in Wanda Robin, Georgia. Welcome to the Talk of the Nation, Tara.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to tell Wes, I appreciate what he wrote. I appreciate the story behind it. And I think I speak for a lot of high school teachers who wish that this is a book that we could introduce to high school students, because they are still on the cusp of making the decision of what path they want to walk down as adults. And to give them this story will really, you know, give them the opportunity, just like you were saying about kids once they get to college. A lot of them are lucky enough to just have made it to 10th grade. And so where they go from there is determining, you know, what the rest of their life is going to be like. And I just think it's a very powerful book, and I wish it was something that we could introduce to high school students.
Tara, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tara. And you know, it's amazing, because we have actually seen, you know, high schools that have been incorporating as well. And it really goes back to, I think, you know, something that Serena touched on as well, which I think Tara pointed to, is, you know, I remember there was actually a scene in the book when Wes and I are talking, and I asked him, so do you think that we're products of our environment? We were talking about Baltimore. And he said, actually, I think we're products of our expectations. And I thought to myself, he's absolutely right, that we weren't products of our environments, but we're products of our expectations. And it's so important that these students, you know, these, you know, men and women, young boys, young girls, whether it be high school or college, you know, really see the importance of that, that the expectation that you have for yourself really matters, because we are a nation of self-fulfilling prophecies. And so what we envision and how we're willing to work at it really can make all the difference as to where we end up.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. My guest is Wes Moore. He's the author of The Other Wes Moore, which is a chosen freshman common read for several colleges and universities this fall, including Marquette, Virginia Commonwealth University, and others. And, you know, the last caller was talking about the need for some high school students to get a little sense of direction while they're making some of these decisions. And your story includes trying to run away from military school several times until you finally decided to stop fighting it and learn from it. And isn't it interesting to think that your book could be the thing that makes another kid make a decision like that? What was it for you?
You know, it's interesting, because there were quite a few things that I think, you know, tried to make the difference. Even going back to the earlier theme that we were talking about, was how these small things really make a big difference. You know, I remember the first time that I really got into reading. I hated reading, and my mother actually tricked me into reading by, because she knew I hated reading and I loved basketball. So she said one day, she said, I'm going to get him a basketball book and just to see if he gets into that at all. And I read a book called Fab Five by Mitch Albom that I literally read in probably about a day and a half. And she had never seen me read anything like that. And I couldn't stop talking about the characters and about Chris Webber and Juwan Howard and Jalen Rose and all these players from the University of Michigan basketball team. And then when she said, you know, I think I might be onto something. And so then she started continuing to give me these sports books. And that really developed my love of reading. I remember when I was in military school, my love of leadership really drove in, because I had so much respect and admiration for so many kids in the neighborhood that, quite honestly, I had no business learning anything from. And then when I got sent to military school after the fifth time I tried to run away, I saw one guy there who was, you know, I didn't know who he was. He never said a word to me. But when he walked in front of his company and I saw the whole company crack to attention, and then and I realized that this guy was in charge, and I saw the amount of respect that they had for him, how my definition of respect really completely changed almost at the same moment that those 150 cadets cracked their feet to attention as he walked in front of them. So there were so many little moments that I think just compounded that eventually led me to have a complete shift in how I thought about the world and my role in it.
Let's hear from Abigail in Baltimore. Abigail, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Mr. Moore. I'm a junior at Goucher College, and I'm going to be leading a book discussion on The Other Wes Moore before your lecture.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that this book is our freshman reading assignment. I'm from Baltimore, and I've never really felt like people came to Goucher understanding much about our local community. I really hope that this book will help people understand more about where they're going to live for the next 4 years, where they're going to get jobs and do service and live their lives. I actually went to the same high school as the other Mr. Moore, Perry Hall High School, and
yes.
I'm just so grateful that people are going to start to understand what growing up here is like, and I'm really looking forward to your lecture.
Well, thank you so, and I'm looking for, and please, when I get down, I'm getting down there, I think in about 2 weeks, and please, I would love to get a chance to connect in person, and that really means a lot that you said that, because I think what happens so many times on college campuses, and whether they be, you know, in Baltimore, all over the country, is sometimes a college campus can feel isolated from the environment, and isolated from the community, where we put these walls or these gates up around the college campus, and then tell students, you know, proceed with caution, as you leave those gates. We have to understand that we're all one community. And the fact is, every single student inside of those college campuses can make a real contribution as to what type of community that we live in. We're all extraordinarily blessed, and you all are so amazingly gifted. And those are the type of things that I want people to understand, is that we don't live on an island here. We all have a vested interest in the future of what's happening around us, and all of us have a real stake and can actually make a real difference as long as we choose to do that. So that really means a lot to me, particularly that the fact that you're a homegirl down in Baltimore, and I really look forward to meeting you in person.
It's also nice to have a book set in the town you're going to if you're not from there. We have, an email from Claire who says, my freshman year at Santa Clara, we read Khalid Hosseini's The Kite Runner. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hosseini was a Santa Clara graduate, and the book was partially set in the San Jose area, which was a great introduction to the culturally diverse city. To tie it all together, Dr. Hosseini was our commencement speaker, so it was really a great culmination of 4 years of college.
It's so true, and it's funny. When I speak to a lot of Baltimoreans about the book, and you hear them say things like, oh, when you're talking about the Alameda, or you're talking about Perry Hall High School, or you're talking about the McCullough Homes, they know this streets. They know the area, which is I think in many ways kind of that added bonus and that added boost to help people get through it and understand the larger point.
And then there is Mike, who says St. John's College in Annapolis and Santa Fe have been having all freshmen read the Iliad of Homer and discussing it for at least 30 years. No more relevant book required. And we have to leave it there. Wes Moore is the author of The Other Wes Moore. He joined us from our New York Bureau. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Tomorrow, join Ira Flatow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday for a look at the naturalist and the real spider behind Charlotte's Web. And join me here back on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.